Last meeting for the month of July, and kind of a light agenda, wasn't it?
It was fairly light yesterday. We've had some pretty busy meetings over the last few weeks, but we were talking at the end of the meeting yesterday, though, leading into August, and seeing that there's five Mondays, and knowing how all the deadlines correlate into budgets and stuff, we may have a full month of August. We may have to meet every Monday of that month. We haven't decided yet, but certainly considering it. So,
yeah, there are five Mondays in the month of August. Yeah, sure are. So, never know. Just have to take it week by week, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a week by week thing, and certainly we'll wait and see how things play out.
Let's get to the agenda. Anything on citizens' comments?
We didn't have anybody yesterday for citizens' comments, so it just gave us a little bit of time to review the accounts payable and payroll claims there. So,
and then on to consideration of continued support of domestic abuse sexual assault services for fiscal year 2020-2021.
Yes, yesterday we had this item up for consideration. We knew that Donna Goode would be asking for this at some point in time. You know, with the crazy spike that we've seen here over the last couple weeks or so, with the increases in the COVID cases again, we did tell Donna, you know, being her request was not going to change from the prior year, that really probably wasn't any need to necessarily have to come and attend the meeting in person. We are trying to control the numbers a little bit. But yesterday, the consideration was to once again contribute $10,096 to the Domestic Abuse Sexual Assault Services Program for fiscal year 2020-2021. This has been the same amount of contribution for several years there, so really not any change at all. Information, there was 831 crisis line calls last year, served 202 families, so you can tell that it is a very busy and necessary program. So in the end, we did go ahead and approve that contribution, and they're good to go for another year.
All right, that's important to have around, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you always hate to talk about the situations and issues that they deal with, but certainly it is a very valuable program and necessary. So,
had a visit or talked to Trent Jollinston, the concerns regarding ownership of a mobile home?
That's correct. This is a very odd or rare situation that I can't ever remember dealing with something of this nature. Trent has been working with not only the county treasurer, but the county sheriff, and Alan Kochweyer, Red Willow County Sheriff, did advise Trent to go ahead and come to the county board meeting. What this deals with is he has a mobile home that's up in the old Lazy L trailer park. He approximately 5 or 6 years ago moved this mobile home, or bought it and moved it from Culberson over to McCook, and he never did obtain a title of any kind. So in the last couple of years, he turned around and sold that mobile home, and he's still having to deal with the fact that he receives distress warrants on taxes being late there. So really didn't have a lot of advice. We discussed possibility of maybe turning it over and having the county attorney look into it. But in the end, we did have Crystal Dack, the deputy county treasurer, come up and talk to us again. She knew a little bit about this situation, and they were going to start going back and seeing if they can find any records over in Hitchcock County as far as finding who owns the title on this and how they can transfer that and get this process straightened up there. So this will be a work in progress, and obviously Trent's been dealing with it for quite some time and getting a little bit frustrated, and I certainly understand why, but that's just a good advice to anybody. When you buy something, try to make sure you get everything titled and in your name correctly so that you certainly don't have to deal with these situations in the future.
Had a couple of items in your consent agenda as well?
We did, actually, six items on the consent. Item number one, as always, is approved minutes from previous Board of Commissioners and Board of Equalization meetings. Obviously, we'd have been having quite a few Board of Equalization meetings with protest hearings, so a big bulk of minutes there. Second item was accounts payable and payroll claims. The grand total here is $279,572.89. Item number three was reappoint Greg Hoffman to the Planning Commission. This one was overlooked. Last week we made a couple appointments and turn around and make one more this week. Greg did agree to continue on, and that term will expire April 30th of 2023. The fourth item is a chairman's signature on notice to proceed for Figgins Construction. As most people know here in McCook, had done a lot of armor coating on city streets. They've been working the last couple weeks on county projects, our armor coating projects. So this was just a continuation of paperwork that needed signed for them. And I believe, as of yesterday, the good news is I think they've wrapped up our work, and Cambridge Lake Road is much better. I went and drove it Sunday afternoon, and I think we're finally on the right track and got a good product there. So definitely glad to hear that. Item number five, chairman's signature on interlocal agreement with Furnace County for the veteran service officer. As most people know, a couple of years ago we started, when their veteran service officer retired, we started contracting ours out to combine services there. It's working very well, so we did go ahead and re-sign that agreement. And then the final thing was the chairman's signature on resolution number 1391, book 22, page 71, in regards to closing the Kiplinger Mural Fund 4025. A couple years ago, there was a group that started a fund there trying to have a mural designed and was eventually going to be placed in front of, I believe, the Alice Building there in memory of Tom Kiplinger and everything he'd done. Donations were just very, very slow, and for the amount of the cost for the project, they were never going to be able to reach that goal. So a couple months ago, they went ahead, decided we'd go close this out. We did send letters out to everybody that had donated money, and some of them requested that money be sent back to them, and then others just said, okay, just donate it to the fair. So in the end, we had $3,416.10 that needed to be transferred. $2,720 of that went to the fair fund, and $696 went back to the visitors board. So that is all closed out and cleaned up, and the money's been transferred in the proper places to do so.
After that, you had a budget workshop?
We did. Obviously, as everybody well knows, this has been the main topic over the last couple weeks, and it will be really for all of the month of August. Yesterday, we started reviewing all the budgets that have been submitted. I believe they were all turned in and starting to be evaluated. We did not make any decisions yesterday as far as hearings with the different department heads. We're going to put that off for 1 week in hopes that maybe we can get this information to Dan Miller, the CPA, and our actually budget preparer, and see if he's got any vision as far as where we're possibly setting and what kind of cuts or changes we're going to have to make before we do hold public hearings. So that's going to be the big thing, and certainly that's why I related early on that it very well could be a case where we'll have five meetings in August, depending on how things work out, because we definitely had some things we dealt with over the past year. Really noticing and looking at our inheritance fund, must not have been any major estate settlements there, so our cash balance there did not grow like it normally would, so there's not going to be money really available in that fund to transfer to offset some of the increases, and then of course our health insurance renewals were not good this year either. So there's some big challenges ahead of us, and it's going to be interesting to see how the next few weeks play out, because the budget obviously has to be submitted to the state of Nebraska by September 20th. So a lot of work to do.
Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, because you don't know what the state's going to do. The legislature's going right now. You just kind of got your hands tied, don't you?
It is. I mean, people don't realize, but county government's unique in the sense that, you know, we definitely rely heavily on property taxes, and you know, nobody wants to hear about their taxes being any higher than they already are. So it's a tough situation to be in. We don't have a lot of other revenue sources out there that we can make up the losses there. So it's just a tough situation. And yeah, you watch the legislature over the last week. There's a lot of crazy things going on
you
down there too.
Wow. Wow. It is certainly a lot of fighting going on right now.
Yeah. Apparently this COVID pandemic didn't do any of them any good either there with all the arguing that's going on. So
I take more budget workshops coming up in August?
Absolutely. And next week we're going to look at this a lot harder, and then probably start setting dates and times when we'll be calling in the different elected officials and holding budget hearings. So it's going to be a long process.
Had a couple of reports as well?
We did. Reports, Treasurer's semi-annual report. This is actually per statute 77-1745, in which she's required to issue two reports a year. This one was dated 1-1 of 2020 to 6-30 of 2020, just showing all the money that had been collected, the disbursements, and what money's left cash in the bank there. So a report that's given to us all the time. The Extension Board then gave us a constitution. Really, this just lays out all the duties and responsibilities of the Extension Board, but the major change there was they reduced their number of board members by two, so they had to make a major change in this language there to meet that requirement. So that was the primary purpose of that. And then wrapping up the reports was the Sheriff's Monthly Revenue Report, basically his paperwork for the last month, just showing those services that were performed. So you look at it, fairly short meeting, but still a lot of discussion when we start diving into budgets. The primary thing yesterday was just trying to get some of the revenue sheets completed, so like I said, we can get some information to Dan Miller and see where we're at. So,
county commissioners meet every Monday morning, 9 o'clock, the courthouse, and the public is invited to sit in.
Yes, we certainly welcome people to attend. You know, I do advise right now, you know, let's use common sense. So, I mean, we've seen this crazy spike, and then maybe people have gotten a little too relaxed. So let's just be careful out there so we can stay safe in our area. You know, overall, we'd been looking pretty good through this whole situation, and now all of a sudden our numbers have more than doubled. So it is interesting as it's starting to play out.
Yeah, testing. Kind of knew it was probably going to happen a little bit with more testing and everything.
Well, the more testing you do, obviously, the more cases you're going to have. And that's just a given. So certainly don't want to discourage people from that. But like I said, we just got to practice all the common things we can, good hygiene and so forth, and we'll get through this. So.